us not to be looking for the Antichrist, but for the real Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're in chapter 20 today. Before we get started, is there anything that stuck out to you on this chapter that maybe you didn't know before, or maybe that you were reminded of? Yeah.
Well, reading it, and it's all the thing that Antichrist is going to be doing. I'm almost saying it's an AI. How can somebody be that smart?
Yeah.
I mean, and have control over finances, shipping,
yeah,
all the things. There's nobody.
Yeah.
Well, God could do it, but I don't think a human has the capacity to do that. Do they?
He will, yes.
Well, he will, but is that because the devil gives him that power?
No.
Doesn't power come from God?
Knowledge.
No, I mean, so we have to have the proper, I guess, perspective too, of just control. He's not, he has people working for him also. Okay. So he's a great delegator.
Okay, so like the president, he has all these people telling him what they think
good.
He should
yeah.
do.
Good example.
And, okay.
Yep.
Okay. I was just going to, what?
Yeah, so he has full control of it. He just delegates power to people to get it done.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, exactly. Anything else? Yeah, great point though.
Yeah, I like this chart, like on page 56, like Christ, what Christ did and then what, you know, Satan through the Antichrist is trying to do just parallels it so much.
Right.
So much.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Covering yep. all the bases. Huh?
Yeah.
Trinity.
All right, we'll start on 253 there at the top. Some estimate that since the days of Adam, approximately 100 billion human beings have been born. Over 7 billion are alive today. However, the greatest human apart from Jesus himself has yet to make his appearance upon our planet. The Bible predicts the satanic Superman will splash onto the world scene and rule the world for the final 3.5 years before the return of Christ. He plays a central role in the events of end times prophecy. More than 100 passages of scripture describe the origin, nationality, character, career, conquest, and doom of the final world ruler known as the Antichrist. Clearly, God wants his people to know something about the coming Prince of Darkness. And it's true, there's a lot of it in here on the Antichrist. Judy, can you close the door on your way in here, please? Thank you, ma'am. And again, as we really read our Bibles and focus on how God works with certain groups of people differently at certain times, you can see the focus that God has with that group of people. What I mean by that is what's being explained to us. So when the author of a book is writing to an audience, that audience is what's on the author's mind. So like we would not be on the author's mind when Job is being written, right? We're not on the writer's mind. A lot of things that God is dealing with, it's to that group of people at that time with what they're going through. So it would be foolish for us to read everything in Job and go, okay, God's going to do this for me. Well, no, you're not there, and you're not being written to, right? So it's immature of us. It's young of us, immature, to think first person on everything the Bible says. Same thing with the end times, eschatology. I can't read that and go, that's what God's going to do for us now. Well, no. We're not the audience. Okay, we're not the audience. Now, we have to look at and go a little bit more in depth and slow down and be okay. We have to be comfortable. We have to be okay and comfortable with accepting what the author is saying to a certain group at that time. And if that means we have to reject a presupposition that we have, You have to do it. Don't be insecure. Okay, don't be insecure. If there is a truth that's being explained and I want to force something in there in a hypothetical or infer it, don't hold that as doctrine. Don't hold that as, if I have to let this go, then what does that mean for everything else? No, be okay with not knowing. Be okay with being unclear. That's okay. All right? So when we see the Bible addressing a lot in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel about an Antichrist, about a false prophet, he's not called the Antichrist in Daniel. Is he? No, he's a ruler. Right? He's a ruler. He's not called Antichrist until later, far later, thousands of years later. Right? So the nation of Israel, when prophecy is being written to them about a future event, they're not thinking anti-Messiah. They're not thinking anti-Jesus, anti-Yeshua. They're not thinking that. They're thinking of a ruler who's going to come in and do a lot of harm, a lot of damage. Does that make sense? Okay. So it helps us to understand that throughout time, as things are being delivered and expressed more and more, if we're going to focus on something in eschatology, it's good for us to see what I'm focusing on. What did that mean in the Old Testament? What did that mean for that people at that time? So if a verse is quoted, like in Revelation, let's say Revelation, John's quoting something from Daniel. Let's go back to Daniel and see what's being said there to that group to give us a fuller understanding of what God is wanting us to see. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Now, on a separate, totally separate subject and note, whenever the author references or quotes someone else, be careful who they're quoting. Okay? Be careful who they're quoting. So, you're going to see the name A.W. Pink in here a lot. He's actually a bad dude. Okay? He's actually not a good guy. All right? Now, with that being said, I cannot control who the author references. Okay? The author, Mark Hitchcock, has an idea of certain truths that he likes, right? That are explained well, where he likes the understanding. He likes how it's explained. So he'll just quote them. Now, when I read and I see something from A.W. Pink, I always take it with a grain of salt because A.W. Pink believes, he's a Calvinist, he believes that God has chosen some to go to heaven and chosen some to go to hell. So much he believes that God has chosen babies who die to go to hell. That's his belief system. Okay? Everything is by God's design, A.W. Pink. So, if someone sins, God wanted you to sin. God designed that. God authored that. If someone gets abused and hurt, God authored that. Because nothing happens because God's the complete sovereign ruler. So, God authors everything. And we do not take that stance at all. Okay? Does that make sense? So be careful when you see quotes by people. It's not the Bible. This whole book is not the Bible. Only part of the Bible that's in this book is when he quotes a Bible verse. And even then, we have to look and see if it's contextual. Because he could fall in that trap also, right? Okay. Any questions on that? No? So we're looking at the Antichrist. Okay, we're looking at the Antichrist. Let's go to page 254. Page 254. The top there, here are 10 aliases for the coming Antichrist that begin to sketch a composite portrait of the various aspects of his career and character. All right? Now, some titles of the Antichrist. Now, again, these titles, he's saying the heading Antichrist, which it is going to be, absolutely. But remember, when we're in Daniel, he's called the Little Horn, not the Antichrist. Right? It's called the Little Horn. In Daniel 8, he's called a king and is skilled with intrigue. Okay? In Daniel 9, it's the prince who is to come. Daniel 9, also the one who makes desolate. Daniel 11, the king who does as he pleases. So you see, these names are with the children of Israel at this time were to be looking for. Right? That's who they're looking for. The nation of Israel, not the church. The church does not look for this person. Okay? The church does not look for this person. We'll get to that stuff here in a little bit. Okay, Zechariah 11 says he's a foolish shepherd. 2 Thessalonians, the man of destruction. The lawless one. The rider on a white horse. And the beast out of the sea. Okay? So there's a lot there on describing some names and some titles that the Antichrist has. So again, at each specific group. Now, if you were to look at this, and let's just look at the references. We have Daniel, Zechariah, 2 Thessalonians, and Revelation. Off the top of your head, let's just do some, let's just test our memory real quick. Okay? On those references, let's just go dispensationally. Dispensationally, how many dispensations do you see? In just the Bible references from Daniel, Zechariah, Thessalonians, and Revelation. How many dispensations are there? Right there.
Thessalonians is grace.
Okay, so there's one.
Three.
You see three? Okay, explain your three.
Daniel would be the Old Testament.
Okay.
Thessalonians is after Christ had lived on the earth and died and rose again. And then Revelation is after the tribulation and during the tribulation period.
Okay, so in Revelation, what dispensation is the writer writing in? So, like, John's writing, what year is John writing Revelation?
90.
About 90 AD, right? Yeah. So what contextually is he writing in? What age? No, because it's what year is he writing in? So what year is John writing in?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you meant, like, what year is Revelation taking place?
Yeah. So he's alive. What year is John alive when he's writing Revelation?
90.
About 90 AD. So what dispensation would that be?
Church age.
Church age, right? Yeah, church age. Okay. Now, when John is addressing, who is John addressing in his letters in Revelation? Who's the audience?
New Testament Christians.
Pastors.
Okay, the churches, right? The churches. Yep, the churches. Okay, now, is there an audience that John is writing to in the future that's out of his dispensation? Yes. After Revelation 5, the church is no longer mentioned. God's wrath begins in Revelation 6. The first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation is in Revelation 6. Okay, the first part of Matthew 24 is Revelation 6. Those go together. You guys following me? All right. So there is a group that John is addressing. He has his original audience, the churches. And he's also going to address tribulation people, right? They need a Bible also, don't they? They need to know what to do in their time. Okay? Just like in Daniel and Ezekiel and Joel and Zechariah, the author is dispensationally in the Old Testament under the law, but he's writing about a future group of people, a future nation of Israel that's going through a totally different time period, right? So that's how much we have to slow down, right, and read this. That's how much we have to slow down. Okay, he's writing under the law. He's encouraging this with his nation, but it's a future group of people who actually need to be looking at this. Interesting, isn't it? And that's why we see so much confusion when it comes to end times and eschatology. It's placing the writing with a certain group. And then we have so much time on our hands the last 2,000 years that we go, oh, the church has replaced Israel. Well, then you have to take out Romans 10, 11, and 12, or 9, 10, and 11, because that's addressing Israel in the future, which is sent from the church. You guys following so far? Did I lose you?
Did you say Romans?
Yeah, Romans 9, 10, and 11 address the nation of Israel in the future. Yep. Okay. So coming back to the Antichrist, we are never told as a group of people in the church to look for the Antichrist. Right? We know that. Even if we know that, have you ever found yourself looking for the Antichrist? It kind of happens sometimes, huh? It's kind of happen. Now, why do you think that is?
We see people and think, how can anybody be that evil? Why, you know, that has to be the Antichrist.
Well, they are Antichrists, right?
Right.
There is not the.
Right.
Yeah. So why do you think we know that we're not to look for the Antichrist, and yet sometimes we find ourselves looking for him? What prompts that, you think?
We're looking at what's happening.
Looking at what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, we're looking at events. We're looking at the events happening. Yep. Because when we read our Bible, what's happening is we're reading about events happening, and we're thinking first person. What's this mean for me? What's this mean for me? What's this mean for me? Most of the Bible as a whole, okay, most of the Bible as a whole is not written for you to live by. Most of the Bible, the majority of the Bible, is written for your learning. Okay, it's written for your learning. And that's okay. There's nothing degrading about that. That's fantastic that it's written for our learning. Okay? What we have to learn is what applies to me, or what is for what group of people. Okay? That's where our imagination kicks in. That sometimes some people get so excited about seeing something happen that they want to try and manifest it in their willpower to happen. They're called false prophets, like Ellen G. White, Seventh-day Adventist. Like Jehovah's Witness, like Mormonism, okay? They've all prophesied the end of the world, and none of them has never happened. So I'll tell you real quick to bail out, right? But they don't. Our imagination is intrigued on what we don't know, on what we want to see happen, okay? It's our imagination. All right, any questions before we move on? Okay, next paragraph down. The Antichrist is the name most commonly associated with a final world ruler. It refers to both an individual and to the system he represents. And there's there in 1 John. Now, we're not going to go through all of this, but when we start looking at there are Antichrists, anti-Jesuses, and the Antichrist, okay? So like we were saying earlier, Don, you think, man, how can someone be so evil? Yeah, they are antichrists. And contextually, to be an antichrist, you have to know about Christ and go against what you know he's for. Technically, to be an antichrist. Go ahead, Joe.
Can you also go against Christ being God made flesh? And would that make you?
Explain.
So somebody who believes in Jesus' personhood and claims that they believe Jesus is good denies Jesus' divinity.
I'll have to look into that. I don't know. Yeah. It's a great question.
Like Jehovah's Witnesses who don't believe that Jesus is God? I mean,
and Mormons believe that too. Mormons believe that Jesus Christ is God.
Well, they redefine God too.
Well,
they don't believe that he's God, deity God.
Yeah, I thought Mormons believed that everybody can become a god like Christ.
Yeah, they just redefine God like everybody could become.
My one missionary friend said that he's not God, so I don't know.
Well, it would be he would have an undisclosed yet in that sentence. Because what I've heard is that they essentially believe that if you're good enough in this life, you're rewarded by being God in your own universe in the next.
Yeah, you can be a little G God. I'm talking about right. Creator God.
Yes, and yeah. They think that Jesus is that little G God.
So we're yes. equal with Jesus
right.
as far as a little, yes.
Yeah.
But not God deity creator.
No.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure if it goes further than that. I think it might, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had several discussions at my friend's dinner table because my buddy's singer in our band, his dad was the bishop of their ward. He explained a lot of things to me, and that was one of them. He's not creator God. Little g, like we're equal with Jesus. What the?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, so he goes into a lot of explanation here on Antichrist, Antichrists, singular and plural. Let's go over to page 256. This is a pretty cool graph on Christ and Antichrist. If you look at this over here on the 256, that graph there, miracles, signs, and wonders, talks about where Jesus had done those. And then on the other side, it talks about where the Antichrist will do those. And again, everything just wanting to mimic Jesus, God. Everything wanting to mimic. I mean, full of envy and pride and just not, he just wasn't okay with what he had. Which, interestingly enough, you know, if you felt like the entertainment industry, there's nothing good coming out of there overall, absolutely. I'm going to put a plug in for a good movie. We just watched Puss in Boots. DreamWorks created it. And the theme of that cartoon is excellent. I'm not going to spoil it for you in case you want to watch it, because you can use it with kids to somehow reference anything biblical or anything with what you have. Pretty good. Puss in Boots. Check it out. It's called The Last Wish. How many of you will actually watch it?
Probably.
You will?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard good reviews on it.
Yeah.
What's that? I've also heard good reviews.
Yeah.
But I think your review matters, though. Yep. It's even heavier.
Yep. Great review. Especially if you're looking at it from a Christian perspective on how to help people and need a cartoon reference. It's a great one to use. All right, so as you guys went down this graph here on 256 and the top of 257, did anything strike you as, wow, I never knew that before, or I kind of questioned that? So anything stick out to you guys at all on this graph?
I guess it kind of surprised me that the Antichrist, I knew this, but they both are riding the white horse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the part where he dies and he goes down to the abyss and he's resurrected, that was new for me.
Yeah. What else? Which has, let's stop for a second. Has anybody outside of God been able to resurrect someone's spirit from the dead? Has anybody outside of God?
You like when Jesus brought Lazarus back to life? You mean, is that what you're saying?
Well, he's God. Anybody outside of God?
Didn't some of the disciples? I don't know. That might be.
Yeah.
I thought.
How about someone's spirit? Like, they know for sure they saw their spirit come up.
Samuel.
Yeah, it was King Saul went to a soothsayer, a witch doctor, right? And he actually, God allowed that person to resurrect Samuel. And Samuel was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Isn't that amazing? So it can be done. Satanic forces can resurrect from from the dead. Go ahead, Dennis.
The interesting fact about that is the witch was just as surprised as
Yeah.
Oh, it's a real person.
Who do you want to talk to? All right. Okay, so it can happen. It can be done. Okay, so the appearance of the Antichrist there on 357. The Antichrist will debut on the world stage at the beginning of the tribulation after the rapture. Now, one can only imagine the chaos and confusion that will grip the world after the rapture and the desperate cry for someone to bring things under control. And this statement's made from his position on a pre-seven-year tribulation rapture. Okay? So if you believe in a pre-seven-year tribulation period, this statement is true. Right? That he will be in office at the beginning of that and move forward at the beginning of the 7 years. Because of the rapture and chaos. That's my point. We know for a fact he'll be there the whole 7 years. We know for that fact. But he's saying because of the rapture, there's going to be chaos. There's going to be chaos. That's his point. So, in the New Testament, under the church, the authors are always believing that Christ could take the church out any moment. Right? Paul believed that. Peter believed that. James believed that. John believes that. Okay, they mention that Christ is going to come and to work until he gets us, right? Paul's not thinking until 2 Timothy that he's actually going to die. He thinks he's going to get taken out because there are no signs for the rapture. They're all completed. Okay, there are no signs. Now, with that being said, would that then mean that there has to be an Antichrist always ready to appear? Yes.
Satan doesn't know when.
Right, so he has to have a guy ready every year, right? Yeah, so throughout time, he needs to have someone ready to go. Someone ready to go. So I think that there have been several people that could be this world powerful leader, ready to go. Because Christ isn't going to come down to the earth. We're going to meet him in the air, right? And so there needs to be a guy ready and waiting after that. After that, ready to go. So for the last 2,000 some odd years, has there been an Antichrist ready to go? Absolutely. Is he in office or in power? Not yet. Not yet. That'll happen at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. Go ahead.
Do these people realize that this is what their life is going to, I mean, that they're there just in case?
I don't think so.
You know, it's just going to come upon them once the rapture takes place.
Well, I think that they think that they're doing good. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to name political parties, but a certain type of thought process is, I am good, and me being in control of you and taking care of you is how good I am. But I want my own choice. You're not smart enough to choose for yourself. I'll choose for you. But I want freedom to choose. You're not that smart. Let me take care of you.
Yeah.
Yep, that's coming.
That's here.
Oh, it's here.
Not yet. Not yet. It'll be here, though, pretty soon. And I think, too, the common misconception that we're not gonna suffer before, which that is totally false, because look at the church when it first started. You could definitely see when the church first started in the book of Acts that was their hope. Their hope was Christ is gonna get us. Christ is gonna get us. Christ is gonna get us. That was 2,000 years ago. But they're living, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I don't know if Christians have seen a harder time than under.
You're right. Yeah. Second one would be Catholic Church, probably. Catholic Church. The burning at the stake was burning more than believers. Yeah. Burning witches was believers in Christ. Yeah. So the Catholic Church is bad, bad, bad people. Okay. Any questions on that so far? Now, going down to the bottom, this is where it gets interesting, okay? So the bottom of 257, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, 6, and 7, the Antichrist can only be revealed when the Holy Spirit is removed at the rapture. He who now restrains refers to the Holy Spirit working in and through the church. Now, that is his opinion. The Bible does not say the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. The Bible does not say that. Okay? He is inferring that. So now, we gotta be careful, right? We gotta be careful. He's making a whole teaching, Mark, which I think is a smart guy. But he's making a whole teaching and he's making statements as if it's true. Do we know for sure the restrainer is the Holy Spirit? Do we know that? No. Do you want to believe that? Some of us might want to believe that the Holy Spirit is the restrainer, but this means you can't will it to happen, right? Just because you want to believe it doesn't mean we can base a whole teaching on it, right? So there is a restrainer, whatever that is, to be removed. We don't know what that is.
Well, in theory, couldn't that be anyone of God's? I mean, if they have his authority, whether it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or even like one of the archangels or something like that, as long as they have God's authority, they could be that restrainer regardless, right?
So we look at it as the rapture could happen at any moment. Right? Clear back in Paul's day. There's something that has to carry on, like you're saying, throughout time, like it's present even now. So what is that? Could be someone in authority, could be an angel, could be whatever, right? The he in the Greek is not capitalized, just so you guys know. The he in the Greek is not capitalized.
You mean in this verse specifically, yeah, or in all verses?
Just this one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Greek works.
Yeah.
Isn't it when the church is raptured that they say all hell's going to break loose because all Christians will be removed? Is it Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Catholics? From my understanding of whether I'm right or wrong, they're not going to be raptured because they don't believe in God. I mean, or, you know,
What do they have to believe in to get raptured?
Just that Jesus is our Savior.
Right.
But are they going to be raptured or not?
So here's... So we had to be really technical when it comes to this, all right? A person can receive Christ at any point. And as they're searching for truth, can get caught up in going to a Mormon church. So if they believed in Christ, but they're following a false teaching, them being a Mormon in that false teaching isn't here nor there. It's that they at one point believe in Christ as their Savior. And that's the qualifying thing.
Okay.
So there will be some people going to a Mormon church. Now, if they're believing what the Mormon teaching is, the Jehovah's Witness teaching, Catholic teaching, then no, they won't be raptured. But if they believed in Christ and got caught up in false teaching, that's different.
So there is going to still be people left on earth that are going to have higher morals or everything like that.
100%.
So, I mean, it's not like there's going to be complete takeover by the bad people. There's still going to be a lot of good people out there that... Okay. I was always wondering, because I always hear where the earth is just going to be totally demoralized and
technically the last 3.5 years all hell will break loose.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. At that time. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's clarifies
that. Jehovah Witnesses don't believe that they're going in the rapture. They believe they're going to be left here on earth to minister to those that are not to go into the rapture.
Right.
Only the selected few, 144,000, get to be raptured. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, did they change that? Because originally they said that it was just 144,000 saved. Nobody else is getting into heaven.
Yeah.
That's what they originally would say.
Well, they're all Jews. None of us are going.
Don't ask me.
Yeah, they believe that there's a selected 144,000.
Yeah, okay.
Witnesses that are going to go in the rapture.
You know, I had to go through all this in cults class in college, and I forgot everything. I'm like, I don't even care.
Man, trying to reverse somebody's thinking on that,
well,
it's challenging.
But they change their beliefs. As soon as somebody breaks that code, they rewrite it.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they don't want anybody to catch it.
Right. Yeah. So, coming full circle, that's what he's saying. He thinks it's the Holy Spirit that has to be taken away, which will be the sign of the church being raptured. And that's a good theory. That's a good thought. Doesn't mean it's true. Go ahead, Don.
If it's not true, who else can be the restrainer? Is the restrainer a person, or is it a group, or a belief system, or whatever? But He believes it's the Holy Spirit that goes with all the believers. But if it isn't, then who could be the restrainer? That's where I'm at. I don't know.
That's where I'm at also.
Who else could it be?
Right. Don't know. And that's why if it was important for the church, Paul would have explained in detail. He would explain in detail. Paul explains in detail everything that's important for us. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not for the church. So it's for a different group of people. And they'll have to go back to the Old Testament. That's why here in a little bit, we're going to do a lot more in the Old Testament because it's going to go back to the Jews. All 7-year tribulation period is Jewish, Jewish, Jewish. Not church, not America, not 21st century, nation of Israel. And those people, what it means to them. There will be events that happen around the world, but it's all centered around that nation of Israel. They're the key to unlocking everything, okay? Not what I want something to maybe be, right? Any questions on that before we move on? All right, we'll keep on reading there. We'll continue his thought. In that paragraph down at the bottom. The fact that the restrainer must be removed before the Antichrist can be revealed tells us that Satan must wait on God's timing so he is defeated before he ever begins his final assault on God. He can't make his move until God releases the restraining power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in the church. Satan does not know the exact time of Christ's return. Now again, Christ's return technically is when he comes to the earth. All right, so that's kind of that's not Christ's return. Technically, the rapture is church meeting him in the air, okay? I know it sounds silly, play on words, but we have to really get that nail in our heads. That's why there's so much confusion. Or when the restraint will be removed. So he must have a potential candidate for the Antichrist ready in every generation. Also, since the identity of the Antichrist cannot be known until after the rapture, no one today should spend time trying to figure out who he is or come up with possible candidates. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you not follow people on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat that are looking for an Antichrist? Don't waste your time. All such attempts are speculative and futile. I have to tell people, if you ever do figure out who the Antichrist is, I've got bad news. You've been left behind. Yep, absolutely. And again, that's from a pre-trib standpoint, right? So any questions on those final last statements there that he has, or thoughts?
The only thought that I have is, I think that it's important, like you said, to differentiate between antichrists and the antichrist. Because we can spot antichrists all over the place today. And it is important to recognize that. It's also important to not label them as the antichrist.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. So he goes on to talk about some attributes of the Antichrist. There's a big thought process. Is the Antichrist Jew or Gentile? Go to page 260, 261. Again, he talks about the Antichrist will mesmerize the world with his words. And he gives references there. Page 262, he will rise from obscurity as a great peacemaker. And he will. He'll do that. Okay? He will establish a one-world economy. Again, a growing religion is humanism. How can I make man better? Right? There's a big push on making mankind better. And that's our purpose. That's what we're living for, is to, help out our fellow man. So all millionaires and billionaires, they have so many charities and programs on making men better. That'll be a huge push. Again, like you said, Ray, good people. Really good people. Spending lots of money. These people spend more money on things that have little to no return than the church does on spiritual things. So they're all in on their belief system. They're more all in and their religion than most Christians are in theirs. Crazy, isn't it? He'll establish one world economy. He'll rule the world. He will claim to be God. 264 talks about some Antichrist activities on the bottom there on that graph. Again, all these references are good for you guys to go through, going on down. On page 265, again, you can start seeing some things that he's going to do. So these are good things to look at to say, hey, is the Antichrist here right now, and is he doing these things? No, this is not happening. Go ahead, Joe.
So I have a question about the world economy. Now, because that's listed in relation to something the Antichrist does that mean that it cannot happen before that? So to rephrase that, could we see a world economy that is not the world economy that we see in Revelation?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it was exclusive to that time or not.
Yep, and it'll be, the headquarters will be Babylon in Iraq for the world economy. The e-commerce, everything will be headed out of Babylon in Iraq, yep.
But we can see
we could see that now. One EMP, boom.
Right.
Yeah, we're toast. Excellent, all right. So knowing these things, knowing that they're not necessarily for us, what principles can you take away from knowing what the Antichrist is going to do, who he is? What principles can you take? Anything?
We don't have to live our lives in fear.
Right, big one.
Don't have to waste time looking for the Antichrist.
Don't have to waste time looking for the Antichrist.
Speculating.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Don, will you pray for us?
Father in heaven, we thank you for this another day when we can open your word and study and learn the truths that you have for us. Some seem hidden, but you've given us everything we need to know with the Holy Spirit within us to uncover the truths and see what our future is. We thank you that our future is already determined, and we will be with you eventually in heaven. And thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.